The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, when I was looking yesterday when Boris Johnson was saying every house by 2030, you know, electricity will be powered by wind. I was thinking, wow, that's going to have an impact, a positive impact on many sort of companies, I suppose, in the resource sector, because, of course, there's commodities involved there. There's like copper. What else is involved in there?
Copper, rare earths, neodymium, praseodymium. Some wind farm companies are using different mixes, but we would expect the new UK offshore wind farm planned at Dogger Bank. Mm-hmm. The offshore shipping forecast is never going to sound quite the same again. That's likely to use about 10% of global neodymium production. Shall we say 10% of a single year's neodymium production, which is a lot. Let's face it. I mean, these offshore wind farms use very large permanent magnet motors, and just that one installation, that's 3.6 gigawatts of power, and no doubt Boris Johnson has got more of this planned, and it's great stimulus. It keeps the steelworks going. It keeps the, I mean, they make the legs for these windmills in the shipyards, in effect. It's very, very good. It's a fantastic form of stimulus, shall we say. Mm. It keeps everybody busy, and it will provide carbon free. Well, that's debatable whether how you work out whether it's carbon free, but it will provide low carbon free energy from the wind, and I think that's brilliant for the UK. I think that's certainly great for commodity demand. There'll be a lot of copper to cable the power from the wind farms into the UK grid. It's good all round. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I didn't realise how big a player in the wind farm industry we were. And if you just look on Google and look at biggest wind farms, they have the largest operational offshore wind farms, a list there. And literally, I was quite surprised. And let me scroll down. I can see it's the world. So out of the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we've got 8 of the biggest wind farms in the world. The first biggest is in Hornsey. It's 1.2 megawatts capacity. But literally, Netherlands comes in at 5th with 600, less than half the size of our biggest. Then Germany comes below that 582 at 7. So we're massive in the wind farm industry, aren't we? We're the world leaders.
Germany is the second biggest, with more than 10 gigawatts of installed capacity. We know there's a lot being planned in the US. They're targeting another 27 gigawatts in the northeast of the US, according to S&P.
Yeah, according to this list, they're nowhere near.
China is catching up really fast.
No, but Germany, like I said, is seventh as far as biggest. But we are 1, 2, 3, 4, top 4 biggest wind farms in the world. Germany and Netherlands and next. Well, Germany, actually, but Netherlands have got one. Then you go down, and actually, China features like number 20.
China is going to overtake everybody.
They've got
more than 8 gigawatts under construction right now. Or something like that. So it's, you know, there's a lot coming. And if you just look at the Dogger installation, that's going to use something like 600 tons of neodymium, which is a huge amount. So,
in fact, you know what? I've just scrolled down, John, and it says here, largest under construction, Hornsey Project 2 is number one. That's in the UK, 1.3 gig. They got Moray East is second. They got Taiwan, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Denmark, China, and Taiwan. So we're still up there. It's quite impressive there.
So we will be publishing more on the statistics of wind farms and permanent magnet demand and stuff like that tomorrow. We were going to put it into our note today, but there was such a lot of other news around. I just put in a bit, just the first short paragraph of that. So Look, it's a big thing. I mean, the Americans might have cancelled the stimulus discussions with the Democrats for now, but there's so much stimulus already in the pipeline and coming through that the copper prices actually went up today, and so did nickel and other metals, and they didn't go down. So we are seeing prices rise for rare earth metals and a whole bunch of other industrial minerals now. And I think this is, and of course, these wind farms are going to need big battery installations to support them, because when the wind blows too strong, they have to feather the blades and then the power stops. Or if the wind is, obviously, if everything is becalmed, which doesn't happen very often on the Dogger Bank in the North Sea, but if things are becalmed, clearly there's not enough power there either. So they need to combine all this renewable energy with new battery installations to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Well, it's quite exciting, that. Cool. And so let's talk about individual companies. Any news out there, John, worth talking about?
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of news today, as it happens. Ammo Minerals, they got their first quarterly coupon from Nathan River Resources. They've invested in the Nathan River project in Australia. It's a high-grade iron ore project, 60% iron content. They've got nearly 200,000 tons of material stockpiled and ready to ship this month into China. So that's a good quality project. It's a project that's effectively up and running. It's transformational for Amor, who raised £6 million recently to fund the Nathan River project. And it means that Amor can carry on with the nickel project that they have in Russia. And of course, nickel is very much flavor of the month with Elon Musk at Tesla saying that he wants to buy environmentally friendly nickel from someone. And we see the statistics on even Tesla's demand for nickel are extraordinary. Mm. So there's a lot going on in this area at the moment. Tesla are in talks with BHP and Vale. They need a lot of the world's nickel going forwards, and we're not quite sure where it's all going to come from.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a squeeze there somewhere. Cool. Anything else? AMO is there. AMC is ticker. What's next?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the gold price is still very high. It's come back a bit, particularly, you know, if there's more stimulus, the gold price would probably almost certainly jump again. But
Trump said that. He said, I'm not going to speak to stimulus and to Democrats after the elections. I never believe him anyway. Do you? I mean, you know, it's just everything he does is a ploy, a game trick, isn't it? Is playing the game. So I never really believe him. You know, do you really?
I'm afraid I think you're right, but I believe Trump more than I believe anything the Chinese say.
Oh yeah, of course. Well, the Chinese say
So look, I think with any politician, we have to be very careful about what they say, and we really have to look at what they do.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? How literally. We can't trust anyone, you know, for the word, like the Chinese. We know full well, you know, they've got these re-education camps. And I think it's dreadful. It's awful. Just even pretending that they are re-education camps. They're not. They're awful. Almost death camps and all that sort of torture places. And yet they pretend they're not. And we just carry on in plain sight, pretty much. It's nuts. I know. Who do you believe? That's the trouble. And I suppose how you whittle it down is, who do you believe the least? That's all you can, you know, do. But there's a scale, isn't it? That's all you can do, you know?
Absolutely. But anyway, as I say, the gold price ticked off a bit, even despite all the worries that we have in the world. Charit Gold, who are quite a highly leveraged gold producer, their costs are, shall we say, around $1,000 an ounce. That means they're making about $850 an ounce margin at the moment, not far off. They refinanced $19.4 million of a loan that they have. Means that they've got loads of time and more than and enough cash to do what they want to do. In fact, because of the high gold price, they'll be paying down the debt really quite quickly now. And that's always good to see. And we expect them to see a pretty meaningful jump in production. Starting in 2023, when we expect them to go to about 160,000 ounces. This year they'll do about 54,000 ounces. And hopefully it would be nice if they can make a profit off that. I think, you know, they've had such a lot going on that they'll probably still make a loss. Next year should turn a small profit, and then it should develop from there. So I actually see that as quite an interesting business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Morris Gold. You know what they say about gold? Do you know what? Look at the chart of gold, though. It'd be interesting to see where it settles, because it's a little bit rolling over a little bit. You know, it's coming back, and it's failed to hold almost the support there of what was it, 1960, I think it was, and it's dipped a little bit more, and the momentum's come off a little bit. But it'd be interesting to see where it flattens out there. But no doubt it'll rise again. It's funny, isn't it? It's a sentiment of stocks and shares. When a stock goes down, everyone's raving about gold when it was high, and everyone's saying, right, I'm going to buy on the dip. The dip happens, and then people go, oh, I don't know if it's going to go lower now. And people don't buy. But eventually, they will start buying again. That's it. Buy low, sell high. That's the way. But it's hard to do. Sentiment, it's all about that. Anything else, John? Anything else happening?
Well, Vast Resources restarting their operations in Romania by Ply. So that's good news. Great to see that things restarting there, and they forecast they'll process 14,000 tons of ore and start delivering payable material in the fourth quarter. So look, it's great when a company like that, which has been struggling, is getting back on its feet again. Mm-hmm. So good news there.
There are a lot of shareholders. I get contacted by a lot of them, and saying, oh, here we go, we're nearly there, and then all of a sudden something happens and delays the project, and again. But there's a lot of loyal followers who are still holding the shares, so they obviously see a lot of potential there, and there's something, you know, that they really like. So there we are. And you think, you know, because, and that's unusual for AIM small caps, people by the whole, there's a lot of traders and a lot of people don't have that much loyalty, but there's also something that's impressing them about Fast. I've not really looked into it, but I suppose the imminent cash flow is one of the factors, isn't it, I suppose? You know?
Absolutely. So Fast is a recovery story, and we're trying to help them manage that recovery.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Cool. Anything else, John?
Well, SolGold, they're talking a lot about their exploration in Ecuador, and having discovered the Alpala project, which they're looking to develop into a very large scale underground block caving project, which is multi-billion dollar project. It'll probably end up at $4 or $5 billion of capex, and so that's something that will have to be managed by BHP or Newcrest or probably a consortium of major companies. But they are, in the meantime, they're drilling at other projects in Ecuador, and there's a lot going on there. So I think that SolGold's going to make more value out of its other exploration in many respects. And I think there's a very good chance that they might find something better than the Alpala project in territory that has been very largely unexplored. So that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Cool, John, thanks for that. That's it for the... In fact, you haven't mentioned one of your favourites, Bushveld. Anything happening there?
Bushveld is rolling along. We're waiting for the vanadium price to pick up. I'm sure it will. It's pushing forwards. I think it's a very interesting business right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah, BMM, marvellous stuff. Cheers, lad. In fact, Bushveld, let's look at the chart, because I noticed recently they were on the Vox Markets, one of the most followed companies on the list, top 10 on the front page. They appeared on that. I don't know what happened there, but they appeared on there. Maybe it's just a rise in price, because some people just follow when the share price goes up. But cool. Yeah, they hit that in March. They went down to that level in 8 to 9 pence. And now they sort of bounce back up, and they have to retest that, I think, before they move up a bit further. But they're rolling over a little bit. But I shouldn't think they get back down to that level, surely. Surely not, John.
Yep, yeah.
None. Anyway, John, thanks for that. I'm going to speak you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.